Love is unselfish. Charity seeketh not her own. We've been continuing this revival of love and talking about the command that Jesus gave us, that we love one another the way that he has loved us. So we've been examining what that kind of love that is, the word translated love in that commandment and in this passage that Paul wrote is agape, and in other places as the New Testament word that tells us about reflecting God's love, and the same kind of love that God has for us that was demonstrated in Christ, that then we are invited to have for one another. We won't sing our little song today, but as revive us again and fill each heart with thy love. And so that's what we're praying for as we pray for a revival of love in our community. And I spent a little extra time studying this particular aspect of love this week, because this is one of my own greatest shortcomings, among several, but that's fine. And think for a moment just what about who is the most unselfish person you know. Unselfishness is one of the most admirable traits of love, isn't it? And it's demonstrated by those best whose love is being perfected, Christ and his apostles and their followers down through history, as we follow them in trying to love better and do a better job. And this is one of the greatest aspects of it, to be unselfish, to be, as Paul wrote, as it's translated in the King James, seeketh not her own. In other words, oriented towards those around us. And so the actual definition of that phrase, I think in the Message translation, it's translated, isn't always me first. In the New International, it's not is self-seeking. In the Common English, doesn't seek its own advantage. And in the Good News, the word selfish. And so that's where, you know, kind of get the idea of the ways that it was has been translated. And the word that is translated to seek is means to strive after and to endeavor, to desire. But that's what we're, our goal is, what we're working for. And her own is being of oneself. And so it's really emphasizing there that it's not about us, but it's about the other. It's about Jesus. It's about each other. It's about, not about, I mean, we take it into even like the life of the church and the people of God. It's not about us and our church, but it's about the community around us, the family and the neighbors, the people that don't go to church, the people that are in the community around us. It's about them. It's not about them serving us, but us serving them. And not about us getting them to do what we think they should, but about us being a part of our community and leading them into this same kind of love so that they can share that same kind of joy. So it's about reaching into the lives of the people around us, whether it's in our household or in our community or in other places that we go, activities we're involved in. So outward. So one of the things we think about, one of the biggest aspects of that then, is generosity. And the word in the King James that we're dealing with that's translated love is charity. And so that generosity and the unselfish generosity of others, like what was demonstrated with Sally's presentation this morning, and Thomas and they're going there, and Steve and Karen when they go on their mission trips and Shelby on hers. Some of the things about when we think about mission, people going out in foreign missions like this, you know, we see a good demonstration of unselfishness, because they give of themselves out to people that they may not ever see again, most of them, and and not for a return to themselves, but in giving, and then the congregation supports them in the same way. So everybody that donated money or medical supplies and all the different things that were donated, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? And so it kind of shines out when we do that on a foreign field, but that's what we're expected to do in our own community too, with our, like the New to You and the other programs that we have in our community to help people, and how we're supposed to deal with one another individually. It's charitably, unselfish generosity to lavish this. Is Jesus talked about on the Sermon on the Mount, he was talking about these kinds of things. Ask, give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. You've heard it said, love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy, but I say, love your enemy, bless them that curse you. And so this is the kind of love that we saw Jesus not only talk about, but do, and a generosity of spirit toward everybody, toward all people, and blessings that God extends to everybody impartially. James wrote that if you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, then you commit sin and are convinced of the sin of the law as transgressors. And so along with that generosity is that benevolence that we find in people of goodwill everywhere, and that have a humane view of life, of people, of our fellow creatures, and philanthropic, where people are unselfish, willing to share their wealth. And that has been really a major support of social benevolence all through history, is that people who have been willing to support causes that they believe in, and to help where help is needed, and that is certainly appreciated. And there's some of the pretty big projects that have been undertaken that would not have been able to be undertaken had it not been for people who wanted to give and to support them. And we have this hymn in the Sweet By and By, and it has a verse, to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessings that hallow our days. I love that word bountiful, don't you? Love is bounteous. It's not stingy. It's not cheap. It's not just that measured. It tends to just be, like I said, lavish. Some of those words are really beautiful when you think about them. And that his love for us and his generosity to us is bountiful and gives us all that we need, and we praise him for it. Paul talked about that with the grace, and talking about that, like the free gift of God is grace. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God freely given is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we all sin, and yet we're being justified freely by him. He didn't spare even his own son Jesus, but sent him and freely gave him. John Wesley had a sermon that is a part of our doctrinal heritage, Sermon on Free Grace, and he put this, he said, how freely does God love the world? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet dead in our sin, God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How freely with him does he give us all things. Verily, free grace is all in all. And isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? And that's that part of that overwhelming providence of God that Paul was talking about when he said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. So we see that then, that this kind of love that we're invited to have for one another is self-sacrificial, as Christ demonstrated. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit while we were while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And a lot of people would, maybe not a lot, but some anyway, would give up their lives for somebody that was good, or for a friend, or for somebody. But this is how God commends his love for us, that for us, while we were bad, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that then becomes his commandment. And the one that he demonstrated even in instituting the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and taking the bread and breaking it, saying, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood of the New Testament shed for you." So that's our invitation in love this week, is that we're invited to be unselfish as Christ is unselfish. Jesus taught, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall then give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again." And warns us that he shall have judgment without mercy for those that show no mercy. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Close with this example, well, maybe not close, but almost close, with this example of Peter and John were at the temple, Book of Acts, and there was a beggar there, and he was physically unable to work or anything like that because of his condition, and so he couldn't walk and everything. So he was begging in front of the temple, and Peter and John went there, and they told him, "Sorry, you know, we're not in a position to help financially," which is what he asked. He asked for some money. And they were not in a position to help financially. They were not in a position to help the way that this guy wanted them to, or was able to, or even probably to refer him to anybody for assistance, the way that we often do. But what they did was that they offered to him what they were able to share as their free gift to him. And note in this story that they did not require him to do anything for them in order for them to share what they had with him. They didn't ask him to change his religious beliefs or conform to their views about anything. They did not even ask him to believe in Christ before they shared with him. But because of their unselfish faith, he was healed. The people around were filled with awe and amazement. And the whole crowd wanted to hear Peter's sermon, which then he preached to everybody about Christ and his love. And people came to know Christ that day because of it, and continue today to hear that message because of their unselfish moment when Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So we do have something to give, don't we? And we can give freely as Christ has given to us. And just look at that perspective of love as unselfish and see what God can do through us in those moments of unselfishness. This I do close with what Christ said, "Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." In the name of Jesus.